waiting on? Think about that. What are you waiting for tonight? Some people are waiting on family to get here. I was talking to someone earlier. They've got people flying into town, and flights are getting canceled, and you know, different and rerouted, and all kinds of stuff like that. Maybe you're waiting on Amazon Prime to pull up. How many of you love to see that green truck come up? I mean, you know, it's my sister-in-law. One time, I was having something delivered. It was going to be to my mother. She said, "Just have them bring it to my house. They know where to leave it." You know, and this is like Prime is a regular thing there. And or whatever it is you're waiting on, maybe you're waiting on some direction, you know. And it's been a crazy year, and you're wanting God to speak to you and give you some direction, or maybe you've been sick, you know, and you want healing. I mean, we've had several people that have had COVID, and I don't want anybody else to have COVID. And I'm praying the vaccines come out, that they remain safe, and I'll be in line to get one. And you know, and all, and my brother even said, he said he had it as well, and he said, you know, I wouldn't wish this on somebody I didn't like. I mean, you know, and so maybe you're wanting a healing, and maybe you're needing forgiveness for something. Whatever it is, what is it that you're kind of waiting on? I mean, sometimes we can have things that get in the way of what we need to see. And in the craziness of 2020, maybe you're just wanting this year to be over. Anybody with me on that? I was talking to somebody earlier today. It's going to be nice to say goodbye to 2020, some aspects of it. So whatever you're waiting for, whether it's impatiently or not, I mean, you know, think about it. None of us like to wait a long time for anything, do we? And so you're waiting, and I want us to set aside whatever it is, whatever the anticipation is, whether it's, you know, a gift or somebody coming into town. I want us to focus on the gift of Christ tonight and the gifts of Christmas. And so, you know, we live in a dark world. I don't think I have to do anything to convince you of that. But oftentimes it's in the darkness that we can see the light of Jesus better than we can when everything's going good. You know, when we're walking in the darkness, we're in the valley, we're looking, and all of a sudden the light of Jesus shining through somebody else, or just, you know, it's easier to see. It's easier to see because we're in the darkness, and so we live in that dark world, but we want to see Jesus. So whatever you're waiting on that could take your eyes off the coming of Jesus, I want you to kind of refocus for a little while and get on that. We want you to experience tonight the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift of a little baby that was born in a manger, who grew up to be a man and stretch his arms out on a cross and die for our sins, so we could have eternal life. And so I want us to focus on that. And so I want us to look at some gifts, you know, and so in doing that, let's just step out of the darkness of where we're waiting and step into the light of Jesus, because he's the light of the world, right? He's the light of the world. So number one, write this down. Christmas brings the gift of hope. Now, we've talked about these over the weeks, and a lot of people think of hope in the future sense, but Jesus can bring hope in the past, for the past. He can bring hope in our present, and he can bring hope for the future. Let me ask you, what's the longest you ever waited for something? I mean, I get impatient from when Apple announces an upgrade and to when I can buy the upgrade. Anybody with me? I mean, I'm sitting there going, when are they going to make the announcement? Some of y'all are techie people, and you're looking for the next new thing, right? And then, you know, but the people of Israel, think about this. The Israelites, they knew all about waiting. They had been waiting for thousands of years, it seems like, for the Messiah. Certainly the people in the time of Jesus had been waiting for 400 years. Not that any of them were 400 years, but it had been 400 years since the prophets quit talking and John the Baptist started talking. And so if you think about it, their entire history was identified by waiting on the Messiah. They'd had this Messiah promised. And then when it got longer that he didn't come, the prophets would say something that would remind them that, hey, God hadn't forgotten you. Jesus is going to come. And Isaiah was one of those prophets, and he said this. In Isaiah 9:6, he said, "For a child is born." Now, that child he's talking about is Jesus. He said, "For a child is born, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's a prophecy about Jesus coming. It just took about 400 years from when Isaiah said it to when it happened. And so the people, as it went longer and longer, they would just, they'd look back to the prophets and they'd say, well, Isaiah said he's coming. Isaiah said he's going to be born. Isaiah said he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, they could have been discouraged, and I'm sure a lot of them were. Or they could have drawn hope that was set in the past was going to come to pass in the future. He said, we get that same choice today. We can either be discouraged by waiting, or we can encourage ourselves based on what God's done in the past that he'll do for us in the present and in the future. We get to make that same choice. So the gift of hope reminds us of the prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus coming. There's hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled. And the odds against any 10 of them happening are just impossible. But those prophecies give us hope. And as we think about hope this Christmas, we can look back at God's faithfulness in our lives. And think about that. That's what David did when he wrote the book of Psalms. As we think about the prophecies, we look back at what God's done in the past and how faithful he's been in the past. Even in 2020, as you look back at 2020, you're going to see where God directed your steps, where God took care of you, and he's guided you even in this horrible year that we've just gone through. And that will bring us through. It'll give us hope and confidence for our present and our future. Because if he did it then, he's not going to change and stop taking care of us. He's not going to do that. So today, just like the people in Israel were waiting on Jesus to come, we're waiting on him to come again, right? I mean, people say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, you know, he's going to come back. I don't want him to come back until everybody I know and love knows him. But you know, he's coming. But that's going to happen soon, but not tonight. So we're going to look at this. In Luke 1, Jesus' birth was foretold. I'll give you a little teaser on the second coming there. In Luke 1, Gabriel, the angel, shows up and tells Mary. He says, Mary, he said, by the way, you're pregnant. She's like 13, 14 years old now. You know, he says, you're pregnant, and you're pregnant with the Messiah. And so, you know, he shows up and let me ask you, anybody besides me, sometimes you wish an angel would just show up and talk to you? Or a burning bush. I used to pray for a burning bush, tell Pastor Kathy to marry me, you know what I mean? And it just never happened. But she finally walked in faith and did. But you wish, you know, it might make it better, but it might not. It didn't really make it better for Mary because she's 13, not married, and she found out from an angel she's pregnant, which can get her stoned to death in her day. And then, not only was she pregnant, she was carrying the Messiah that all of the Israelites have been praying for and looking for hundreds of years. How's that for some news? Yeah, I mean, what do you do with that kind of news? Fortunately and thankfully, Mary responded in faith, and she held on to the hope that Emmanuel, God with us, was true, and that he was going to be born, and he was coming to the people through her, that she was actually carrying the Messiah. And so because of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we can have hope in our present. We can have hope, in our future because he is going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what struggles you're going through. And we've had some struggles. The economy, a lot of people have lost jobs or worried about jobs, worried about things. But because he's been faithful in the past, we know he's going to be faithful in the future. Look what Hebrews 6:19 says. You see, sometimes when we think that God's just going to always change our situations, but that's not the case. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. In other words, that hope is going to keep us steady like an anchor. Some of y'all like to fish in boat, and an anchor will anchor your boat and keep your boat steady and when the waves and wind are trying to push you around. And the same way, our hope in Christ is going to anchor us when life is crazy, when nothing's going right. When everything seems to be going wrong, Christ is our anchor that holds us strong and steady. That anchor holds us. It lets us know that God is at work. Even in 2020, God's at work, and he's delivered on his promises in the past, and I believe he's going to deliver on his promises in the future. Number two, write this down. Christmas brings the gift of love. Now, let me ask you, you probably don't know this. I didn't. So I was researching, but did you know that Christmas Eve is the most popular day of all the days to get engaged on? More so than Valentine's Day. It is the most, and matter of fact, December has more engagements happen than any other month. It's the love month. Which is kind of cool because really Christmas is about God's love for us. It's about the love story that God's had going with us ever since he created us. And that's a pretty cool thing. And so he sent Jesus because he loved us. And so look at this verse, John 3:16. I think we see this verse so much we just kind of overlook it sometimes. I want you to look at it with me. Start in the middle. It said, God loved the world. That's you and me. God loved you. He 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 loved each one of you. And then it says, he gave his son, his one and only son, so that you could believe in him and you wouldn't perish, but you'd have eternal life. That's love, people. And so it's pretty cool that all this happens during the same month, as God showed his love. God showed his love. Let me tell you, he loves you with a love that can't be surpassed. And he wants to give you a rich and satisfying life. See, he wants you to have that life, that eternal life. A lot of times you think, I don't know if I want eternal life because this life is rough. Rich and satisfying life. Eternal life's going to be good. Come on, somebody. Eternal life's going to be good. Heaven's going to be good. Heaven's going to be better than you can imagine. And so it's going to be good, and he wants you to have that. You see, it's easy to allow worry about tomorrow and worry about next year and worry about whatever to bring us down and keep us from feeling love. But it's important to remember that God invites us to bring all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our anxiousness, everything, and give it to him and let him take care of it. And then he will fill you. He'll take your hurts and he will fill you with his love, with his forgiveness, and with that healing balm. And it's an amazing thing. And let me tell you, the love of God's powerful. Listen to this verse, Romans 8. Paul said this, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. That's a powerful statement. I read this passage all the time, and sometimes I'm tempted to skim over it. But he said, nothing can separate you from God's love. You know what that's saying? That's God saying, man, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. I love you. And then he goes on, neither death nor life. I mean, you can die and he still loves you. You can be busy living life and he still loves you. He said, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Jesus our Lord. That's powerful love. And as we welcome Jesus into our world, and I hope in your home celebrations tomorrow and Christmas Day, you'll make room for Jesus and realize, remember, that it's his birthday. But we can experience God's love in new and deeper ways as we experience Christ. And God's love works in us. As it works in us, it transforms us. And as we share it, it transforms our friends. You know, sharing God's love with others doesn't leave us with less. See, he gives you love. He gives you the gifts, and he wants you to share it. But it doesn't leave you with less. It actually leaves you with more. Because as you give it, he just keeps filling you up with that love. John just described this process. He said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. He said, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And then John goes, dear friends, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. So he's saying, hey, look, God loved you. Now go love others. You see, and when he pours that love in you, it just comes out. That's what's supposed to come out of us is love of God. And that draws people to us. It's a gift that we celebrate at Christmas. It's God's ultimate gift that we receive and experience and share. That's my prayer, that each one of you experience that love in a way that you can feel it from God. Number three, the third Christmas present God gives us at Christmas is the gift of joy. Is the gift of joy. Joy is a giant gift in a little bitty package. You know, it's more than a feeling. And you know, the coming of Jesus created a joy that caused and still causes the world to stop and celebrate. And it's the joy described in Psalms like Psalm 96, where it says this, let the heavens be glad. I mean, the psalmist is saying, hey, let the heavens be glad. The earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. You remember that place where the Pharisees were getting after Jesus about his disciples worshiping him? And he said, if they don't, the rocks will. That's what he's saying. The psalmist said, hey, let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with justice and the nations with truth. Now, you might be like a lot of people and don't feel a whole lot of joy this season. And you know, there's a lot of busyness and expectations and stress, and maybe you couldn't find any sweet potatoes or something like that. I don't know. At the grocery store, but there's just a lot of stuff that can keep us from experiencing joy during Christmas, especially this Christmas. So how can you receive the gift of joy in the middle of suffering, in the middle of loneliness, pain, and grief, and stress, and just busyness? You know, a lot of people today I talked to weren't able to come because they're just busy. I'm glad God wasn't too busy. How can we receive that gift? Well, a couple of characters in the Christmas story I want us to look at real quick. One's the shepherds. They're a good example of anticipating joy. They were, you know, initially kind of oblivious to what was going on that night. They were just working out in the fields, and all of a sudden some angels showed up and lit up the whole night, right? Their immediate sensation was not joy. It was fear, which I got to admit, I'd be right there with them. And you would too, before y'all look bad at me. I mean, you know, let something like that happen. Today they'd be calling them UFOs or something. I don't know, you know. But here's what the angel said. The angel reassured them because they were afraid. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So the angel reassured them. The shepherds, you know, they were fearful at first, but the angel assured them that they were okay and helped them move beyond that point to receive the message about the Savior. And they got it before the end of the night. Look down at verse 20 in Luke chapter 2. It says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. See, they went on and saw Jesus, and they went back rejoicing and praising God for it. That's one way, is you experience the Christ child personally. The other group are the wise men. They saw the star and they paid attention and they recognized they traveled a long way to find the one whose birth was announced by the star. And they encountered hardships along the way. They encountered Herod along the way. And yet they got there. They kept seeking. And even when things went wrong, and that's not real good territory over there to just be traveling on. It's rocky. It's hilly and all that. But when they found him, their response was worship and rejoicing. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. because they'd seen the prophecies. They were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw this child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, two different groups of people, pretty much same reaction, rejoicing and worshiping God for what he had done. It can be hard to recognize joy in our lives sometimes, especially because it doesn't always look like we expect it to. We want joy to be free of hardship, but often it's in that hardship or because of that hardship we experience joy, because Jesus is with us, even when we're going through difficult times. James 1, verse 2 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy." I used to hate that verse. I'm not sure I like it yet. But he says, when things happen, consider those an opportunity for joy. And that's what we learned, that even in hardships, we can have joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to go. We do that by choosing the path towards joy through gratitude, obedience, and continual abiding in Christ. You encounter Christ, you follow him, you stay with him, and you encounter that joy. The fourth thing I want us to look at is Christmas brings the gift of peace. Christmas brings the gift of peace. Now, a lot of times we define peace as freedom from any disturbance or tranquility or quiet. You know, if you got a bunch of kids, it's like when they go see their grandparents. Grandparents, it's like when they go back home. Oh. I was looking at some pictures that I told Joy. I said, "Man, y'all gonna have a rich reward in heaven for just last weekend. A lot of y'all doing the same kind of stuff." So it brings peace. But what is the peace that it brings? Look at this. You know, the Christmas gift of peace is peace with God. Write that down. Peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God." Why? Because of what Jesus did for us. And so you have peace with God. You have peace with God. Because before we have that peace, before you have a relationship with God through Jesus, you're actually at war with God. And God is doing everything he can to get you to come to faith in his Son. But you're at war with God. You're bucking your head against God. But when we surrender, we can have peace with God. And that's the peace that Christmas brings. But he also brings us another kind of peace, and it's the peace of God. Write that down, the peace of God. First is peace with God. You got to have that first. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, that's every day, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, that's on every day, that you walk with Jesus. You're following him. You're getting up every day and you're going, "God, what is it that you have for me today to do?" And you're following him. And then he gives you the peace of God. You can experience that right here, even in 2020 when it's been crazy. And I know many of you here, even though the job markets are crazy, and even though at one point oil was, you had to pay people to take a barrel of oil for a little while, and it got so cheap. It actually went into the negative. And you know what? But the oil company is not your provider. The plant is not your provider. The job is not your provider. God is our provider. And so many of you guys know that you can have the peace of God in your life. Look what Paul said in Philippians. He said, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." He said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And then the peace of God, circle that, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. You see, his peace, people can't understand how you can have peace and everything out here is going wrong. How you can have peace when you're going through an inspection at work. How you can have peace when they're laying people off and nobody knows who's next. You can have peace when your teenager's acting crazy or whatever. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And the peace of Christ is also strong and powerful, and it guards our hearts. It's stronger than whatever difficulty you're going to face. He says this, the Lord is near. And because Jesus is near, because his presence is with you and in you, you don't need to be anxious. You don't need to be anxious. He's Emmanuel, God with us, who offers us the gift of peace beyond what anybody else can understand. And as we practice the actions of prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we'll connect with him in a way we haven't before. And peace comes as a result of the transformation that happens when we stay connected to Jesus. Peace is a fruit that comes. It grows with us as we stay connected to Jesus. Jesus said this, I've told you all this in John 16:33, that you might have peace in me. Where's our peace? It's in Jesus. It's not in my job. It's not in my stuff. It's not in my family. It's in Jesus. He said that you might have peace in me here on earth. He said, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. I want you to understand that it rains on the just and the unjust. We're all going to go through difficult times. We're all going to go through good times as well. And he says this. He said, here on earth, you're going to have trials and sorrows, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And because he's overcome it, we can overcome it. We can walk with him, and we can overcome it. Number five, Christmas brings the gift of Jesus, and that's the ultimate gift. Christmas is the gift of Jesus. I mean, you know, we've gone through the love, joy, peace, all that stuff. But listen, all the other gifts, hope, joy, peace, all those come from Jesus. All those come from Jesus. Jesus is the hope bringer. Jesus is the love that came down from heaven. Jesus is the joy giver, and he is also the peacemaker. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is also, let me tell you, the bringer of eternal life. Jesus is also the bringer of eternal life and a relationship with God, and he's the giver of a rich and satisfying life. John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life, and he's trying to do that to some of y'all. But Jesus said, I have come to give you a rich and satisfying life. That's why he came. Let me tell you, he said, I'm the life giver. I'm the eternal life giver. I'm the abundant life giver. John 14:6, he said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. People that say, hey, all religions are the same. They're not, first of all. They're wrong. And the reason that people get all squirmy when you start talking about Jesus, you're talking about God out in public, and people kind of tolerate. You start talking about Jesus, they get all squirmy. Why? Because of this verse right here. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. He said, no one can come to the Father except through me. You can't get there through Buddha, Muhammad. You can't get there through your own good stuff. None of us can be good enough. You only get there through Jesus. You only get there through Jesus. That's why we celebrate his birthday. We celebrate his birthday. Let me tell you, he's not only the infant that was born on Christmas morning. He's the God who later in life stretched out his arms on a cross and paid the price for your sins and for my sins so we could have eternal life, so we could have a rich and satisfying life here. I don't know about y'all. I don't like being anxious and worried and temper and all that kind of stuff. I like rich and satisfying. I wanted that abundant life that I didn't have. I wanted to feel the peace that I didn't feel. I wanted to have the joy I didn't have. You get all that through Jesus. You get that through Jesus. You get that through Jesus. So let me just land this plane on Christmas Eve, and we'll go eat some birthday Jesus cake. I want to tell you, if you've not experienced Jesus yet, I want you to experience Jesus this Christmas. I want you to know, number one, God loves you, and he created you to have a relationship with him. That's why he created you. You know, we've read John 3:16. John 17:3 said, this is salvation, to know God and his son whom he sent. Jesus created you to have a relationship with him. But the problem is our sin keeps us from knowing him. Pastor Kathy was leading somebody to faith in Christ one time, and she said, I want to be a Christian. And so the lady was praying, and she said, okay. And Pastor Kathy went, oh, God, I'm a sinner. And the lady looked and said, I'm not a sinner. Let me just tell you, we all are sinners. Romans 3:23 said, everybody sinned. You, me, everybody. And in Romans 6:23, Paul said this, and the wages of sin, everybody know what wages is? That's what we earn by our sin. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation in hell from God. People say, well, I don't believe in hell. Then you must not believe in heaven either. Because Jesus talked about both. People say, well, he didn't understand. Come on, he created the world. You see, our sin separates us. And let me just tell you this tonight. I'll reiterate this. Only through a relationship with Jesus Christ can you have a personal relationship with God that leads to salvation. Only through that relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Peter said that we've got to repent and turn to God. That Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sins once and for all. And all we've got to do is turn to him. We've just got to know Jesus. He says in Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I'll come in and dine with him. He's knocking at the door of somebody's heart in here, and he's knocking at the door of somebody's heart watching online. I just want you to bow your heads. Because you see, each of us has got to personally make a choice to trust Jesus as our Savior. I did that years ago as an older teenager. I got on my knees beside my bed and in my house. And I asked Jesus to come into my life and be my Savior and to be my Lord. And as best I can, I told him, I'm going to give my life to you and let you direct it. I hadn't always been right in the center of where he wanted me to be, but I've done it my best and always come back to him. And I believe that if you'll invite him into your life, he'll make a change. Because let me tell you, he changed my life. I couldn't wait until the next day when I went to tell my friends that I'd accepted Jesus the night before. Because we'd all been running from the same guy that was trying to get us to accept Jesus. But let me tell you, it put a peace in me that I didn't have. See, I used to have a violent temper. It's because I didn't have peace right here. And I can't say I'm perfect with temper and all that, because as soon as I say, hey, God's changed me and taking my temper away, something's going to happen, going to make me go crazy. Or try to, anyway. But let me tell you, God changed my life, and he'll change yours. And he didn't do it through trying to keep a whole bunch of rules or anything. He did it because I prayed a prayer sincerely, and I meant it, and I got into God's Word. Let me tell you, after I prayed to receive Christ, I had a class period at my school that there wasn't anything I wanted to take. I mean, home ec was about the only thing I hadn't taken, you know, that was offered that period. I talked an English teacher into letting me do a Bible literature class and for an hour a day for a whole semester in high school. I had to read the Bible and write a report on each book of the New Testament. That changed my life right there, because I had to get into the Word, an hour a day in the Word of God, and then write about it. So I want to encourage you, if you pray this with me in just a minute, you get a Bible and you get in the Word of God. So just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for coming into our world, living among us, dying on a cross for my sin, and for rising again so we could overcome as well. Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, and be my Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit so I can live for you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe that God has forgiven you. I believe that Jesus has come into your life and that he will change your life. And let me tell you, it is important for you to get into the Word of God. It is important for you to be in places like this where you hear the God, word preached. It's important for you to hang around other Christians and to continue to grow. And we'll help you any way we can. We've got Bibles we'll give you. I mean, we want to help you. But that's important. If you're here tonight and this has been too busy, I want to pray for all of us that kind of fall in that category. Just bow with me. Lord God, I thank you once again for sending Jesus. And God, we're going to celebrate his birthday in just a minute. But Lord, I pray that you help us. Not just tonight, but as we go through this next week and as we continue to live our lives, that you would help us to slow down and keep you first and center. God, that we'll keep you first in our life, that we'll do our best to let other people know about you and what you're doing in our lives. So God, we'll give you glory for that. And God, we thank you that you do that. And Lord, I pray that as you help us to slow down, we might see somebody that needs to know the joy you've given us, and we can share that. Lord, I pray blessings on each person that's watching tonight, each person in this room, as we're going to be spending a lot of time with family and friends over the next few days, God, and people are going to be cooking and eating. Lord, I pray protection from the virus for people as they get together. God, and I pray that those family relationships will be strengthened, God. Not strained, but strengthened. And it will experience joy this Christmas like we've never had before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you for being here. We're thankful for that. We're going to leave with a song. But I want to encourage you to come back Sunday. We're going to shift gears. It'll be past Christmas then. But we're going to sing Christmas Carol on the way out. And we're going to go have birthday cake, all right? So let's stand up.